It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Merry Christmas from Payless. Merry Christmas.
From Payless, huh?
Yes. So, you don't know about this. So, you know Payless Shoe Source?
Yes.
Yes. Did you know that for most of forever in the West, it is not called Payless Shoe Source?
You did tell me this once.
Yes. It's called Volume Shoe Source.
Yeah.
Because there was a drugstore chain called Payless.
Yeah.
Eventually, Payless got bought out by Rite Aid. Or changed their name to Rite Aid. I'm not sure which. And finally, all the Volume Shoe Sources became Payless Shoe Sources. And it was very weird growing up because every once in a while they would run their own commercial. And that was interesting. But, yeah, when Payless still existed and they were advertising for their Christmas stuff, they had this little song. It's Merry Christmas from Payless. Merry Christmas.
The link that you wouldn't click on on the blog.
Because it might have that song.
No. It's an old McDonald's gift certificate commercial.
Ooh, I like those.
It's from the 70s. It's like the first one I ever remember seeing.
Did it involve ice skating?
No.
All right. That was one of them.
There was a little rhyme about all the people you could give your McDonald's gift certificate to. They were 50 cent in 50 cent increments.
Yeah. I remember those.
And
I always got a book in my stocking.
And so this was a time when only white people apparently ate at McDonald's.
Well,
Or maybe only white people watched television. I don't know which one.
Only white people were in commercials unless it was for Pepsi.
I think if you look closely, there's a black man in it eventually in the end. Everyone else is white in this commercial. It's really weird.
The way you phrase it makes it sound like eventually one of the people turns black.
No, just kind in the background, like, you can see a black guy after a while.
Eventually, there's a black man.
Yeah, if you keep watching.
Meshach Taylor.
And the boy in it looks like the kid that played Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I don't think it is him, but it looks like him.
To be fair, in the 80s, like one out of four boys looked like that.
Well, and this was the 70s, so.
Okay, then one out of three boys looked like that.
But I remember first seeing those commercials. I don't know if...
Is my wife watching Conan the Barbarian in the other room?
No, she's watching Holy Grail.
Oh, there it is. All right.
But I don't remember there being McDonald's. There probably were, but I don't remember there being any before these commercials started airing in the 70s. And we certainly didn't get any in our Christmas stocking until after that. But we would get McDonald's gift certificates in our Christmas stocking.
One of the great things about, I say one of, possibly the only great thing about the Star Wars holiday special is that the only copy that survived was a bootleg off of TV VHS copy.
With all the commercials still in it.
With all the commercials still in it. And it was amazing. Because it had commercials that I remember that were like, it had the Parquet commercial with It's Not Nice to Fool Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. It had that one in there. It had some sort of, I think, toy one that I don't remember. But it had a commercial when the Egg McMuffin was a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they were very big on, this is a great breakfast thing. And this is the Egg McMuffin, which at the time was like the only breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, pretty much was.
Nobody had thought biscuits would be worth anything yet. so all the commercials are pretty adorable in it. And you can find the Star Wars Holiday Special on YouTube, although most versions, they had to cut out the cartoon for some reason. Cause,
the Boba Fett cartoon?
Yeah, because it has different copyright than the rest of it for some reason.
It's not all a copyright?
I mean, it is, but I think the two are owned differently, and it just so happens that one company was more aggressive than another, I think. Because we found a copy online before. I mean, I watched a bootleg DVD of the bootleg VHS originally myself, but we've watched it on YouTube, and the copy we were watching cut right there where that cartoon was. And I think it even said, like, due to copyright, this part is blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But
that's where Boba Fett was introduced.
Yes. I recently was watching an episode of Actually, and they had a thing about the Star Wars Holiday Special, and it was about how it brought back some fan favorite characters and introduced new characters, and it put Boba Fett in the returning ones, and I knew that was not right. And somebody else knew it on the show, too. It took about it. Everybody guessed for a while, and then one guy guessed it right. And I was like, yep. That is the introduction of Boba Fett.
Yep.
And he hangs out with Luke.
And I guess in The Mandalorian, he's got a gun like the one that he has in the Holiday Special.
Does he have a giant dinosaur he rides like the one in the Holiday Special?
I don't know, but he has that
a
gun.
A giant Nessie.
I don't think you see a
Also,
Mandalorian
he's armed with,
that gun,
with Werner Herzog.
Right.
I didn't even get about Mandalorians until... Was it Knights of the Old Republic? I don't know. Some video game I played that finally, like, talked about Mandalorians.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember that. The first time I remember seeing a real... I mean, and I read some of the books, too. And the first time I ever saw a really thorough sort of treatment of Mandalorian society and stuff was in the Clone Wars cartoons. But it might have been... They might have been in the books and other things, and I wasn't.
Well, yeah, and it turns out that the clones are cloned off of a Mandalorian, and so that helps. But, yeah.
Well, there's quite a bit of they do a lot of interesting things with the backstory that I have found fascinating. So, like I said before, I was interested in the show when I heard about it, but I probably won't get to watch it until it's on like DVD or something.
So, happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, I'm gonna celebrate Christmas on Saturday. I mean, after, not this Saturday, but...
Saturday after Christmas?
After the people listening to this.
Oh, to the Saturday before Christmas.
Yep.
All right. I will be here alone eating homemade chili mac. Well, partially homemade. There's a four-pack of Skyline chili.
On the weekend before Christmas or around Christmas?
By myself here. No, the weekend before. Eating homemade chili mac and... putting together that game I'm going to run on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to drop off the wife in the Quad Cities on Friday night and then come back here and spend the weekend by myself. And then Monday, go to work. And then Monday night, drive home. And then I'll be there for Christmas Eve day and Christmas part of the day. And then in the afternoon, we'll come back.
Everybody in my family is going to be somewhere else on Christmas Day, and I think Christmas Eve for a lot of people is spoken for also. So we just said, well, let's just do it the Saturday before.
Absolutely.
Our family's so flexible with stuff like that. So
we had one year where we did it on New Year's because of that.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too.
It depends. I think it was one where Christmas was on a weekend, but it didn't work, and so then we did it New Year's weekend. I don't know. The main thing I know is I also couldn't attend that. Because that was when Gray Boy was very sick and he had to have subcutaneous fluids every few hours. Mm. And so I stayed home. But I Skyped in and somebody opened my presents for me in front of the camera so I could see them and stuff. And it had mixed results. But that was one of my very living in the future moments. I'm like, holy crap. Like, little kid me could not imagine this idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy holidays, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that really champions the McMuffin, line of things. I mean, the egg McMuffin, the sausage McMuffin with eggs, the egg white delight, all of them. I'm Tony.
And I'm William McMuffin. And this is episode 458.
Yeah. You were all wondering, like, why would a vegetarian champion the McMuffins, because they famously have meat in them, but it's his family's creation.
Yep.
They're the McMuffins.
Yep. William McMuffin.
William McMuffin of the McDonald's McMuffins. You know, nobody yet has ever done this. That you know the term MacGuffin.
Yes.
I don't remember the origin.
I don't either.
But it is the term for the generic thing that you need in a plot that's gonna that all the bad guys and good guys and everybody are trying to get a hold of.
Yeah.
The special, the briefcase, the money, the diamonds.
It doesn't
the
matter
formula.
What it is.
Exactly.
It's just
exactly.
The thing. Yeah.
You get some exposition of why it will matter.
Yeah.
Later, but it doesn't matter in the story except that just everybody wants that thing.
That's right.
Nobody has yet to make an Egg McMuffin be the MacGuffin.
A McMuffin MacGuffin.
Exactly.
That'd be very clever.
Except you couldn't say it in the thing.
Oh.
No, which would make it cooler, I think. You would just have everybody trying to hunt down a McMuffin.
All the critics would be calling
exactly. Everybody would love, hey, it's a McMuffin MacGuffin.
McMuffin.
No,
MacGuffin.
If you said it in the movie, then it'd be lame. It'd be like all those movies that those two assholes made that were, you know, epic movie and not and date movie and
Scary Movie.
No. That's the thing. The scary movies were somebody else. And then most of the spinoffs were those other guys. Also, Scary Movies got bad after the first one. But I watched them all the way through 4, I think. Mm. Really stopped because it was terrible. But anyway, if you want to know how this show works, go back and listen to last week's episode. I explained it there.
Yeah.
And we were already there, so kiss my Alderman.
That'll show you.
Oh, maybe that should be the name of this episode. Kiss My Alderman.
Okay.
And then the previous one will be Retail Park. And then next week's will be Not Now, Madam. Madam, please. I don't remember something about that. Yeah, so, this week we want to talk about the Chinese community in Bolton.
Come on. Is that's all this is going to be about?
It's just going to be inside jokes that no one else will get because I'm sick of all of them. So then what are you going to be doing on Christmas Day then?
I don't know. I'm pretty excited about getting together with the family on the solstice, on the actual solstice, on the 21st.
Ooh.
So, because a lot of times we just try to do something special on the solstice just by ourselves, and now we'll be with the family on solstice. But on the actual day,
Is your wife taking any time off?
She is.
There's a lot of options there. I know people who, like, starting tomorrow, are gone till the year's end at my work.
I mean, she works at a new place now, so she doesn't have vacation.
Yeah.
Or she used to do that, too, to, like, be done for, like, the last 2 weeks of the year. But, no, she's only got a few days she can take now, and...
But doesn't take many to get a big chunk out of
that's
this
true.
One.
That's true, because there's so many off. Yeah. But, I don't know exactly what we'll do, but, I mean, it would be a great day.
Probably watch more about Oak Island.
We might be out of...
How close are you now?
Well...
As of a week ago.
I mean, we're watching the new season, but they come out once a week, right?
Mm.
And then we decided to watch... let's watch the first and second season. The first season only has 5 episodes in it. Like, they were just trying it out.
Yeah.
And then the second season has 10 episodes in it. Now, and then the season after that has like 16 and then 18 and then 20 something. So they keep getting more episodes each season.
So which seasons have you actually watched already?
3 through 7 and now, yeah.
And you're working on 8.
So we decided, 7 is the current season. We decided, let's see what the first 2 seasons are like. Because the thing is.
And it was a whole recasting thing, like one of the brothers is a different guy.
The thing about it is they. Each show kind of will rehash things that happened earlier.
Previously on this dumbass treasure show where nobody can find anything.
Like when they find something and it relates to something they found before, then they'll take 5 minutes to tell you about the thing they found before with all of this stock footage from 2 seasons.
So now you're learning all the stuff that you already knew before.
Except not. There's lots of things in these episodes that they have not talked about.
Because they lead nowhere.
That's what I thought. But... I mean,
you've seen the seasons, so yes, they lead nowhere.
No, they...
If they led somewhere, you would have seen footage.
That's what I thought. But I think
there's
that ends up...
There's a reason why... How would that not be true?
Because I think this season, they're going to come back around to some things that happened in
first
season.
Oh, but then after this, we'll never come... Okay. Oh, you think the 7th season is going to lead around to first season?
Because here's what happened. Because we were watching it, and all of this dramatic stuff was happening. It's like... Wow, this must have come to absolutely nothing because they never talked about it from season 3 to season 6. Well, what happened was they were really pursuing this lead, and then the Canadian government there was this started to change some of the permit laws. So it looked like
lousy Canucks.
It looked like the show was actually going to end. So before that could happen, they wanted to
came up with some new shit to talk about for 3 years.
So they were working in the swamp on the island.
We spent three consecutive episodes talking not insignificantly about this fake treasure.
They were working
hunt,
in the swamp on the island, and they weren't actually doing anything with where the supposed money pit was. Like, they were saving that for something else. So now that it looked like the show might have to end, they decided, okay, let's stop with the swamp and let's go to the money pit. And so for several seasons, they were doing money pit stuff instead.
Wait. You are telling me, if I'm understanding you correctly, that for the first season, maybe the first two seasons?
I mean, but it's 15 episodes.
Okay.
So the two seasons together, right?
15
like a season.
Hour-long episodes.
Yeah, right.
The people going to find the treasure.
Well, 10 of them anyway, or something, I don't know.
Going to find the treasure.
In the money pit.
That doesn't exist.
Okay.
But spent their first episodes not trying to find the treasure.
In the money pit. Well, there are other treasures reputed to be on the island.
God damn it. Fucking A.
Look.
Is this real? Are you punking me?
No, I am not.
Have you made up this entire thing?
Nope.
Just to fuck with my head?
No, look.
It is amazing how much these last 3 weeks have reduced my opinion of the History Channel. I did not think that was possible.
Well,
you know what it was? I thought I was at rock bottom here, but it was just a set of old logs, and under that was even more.
And so that made you think, well, maybe if we dig further.
Exactly.
And then you found the logs, and you think, wow, maybe if we dig further.
And then I realized I was on the wrong part of the island.
No. There's they think there's treasure at the money pit too. They just think there's some in the.
They believe in a lot of fake treasures,
yes.
Hidden treasures.
Yes. Exactly.
God damn it.
Well, here's the thing though, and this is what's so funny about
it. What are their names? If I meet these guys, I'm stabbing them.
Rick and Marty Lagina.
Lagina. That'll stand out. All right, if I ever encounter anybody under that name, stabbing them in the throat with whatever I have handy.
But it's interesting because
it can't be.
No,
it
is
can't.
Because there's all this interesting archaeology that has nothing to do with treasure or treasure hunts, right? I mean, if nobody had come up with the money pit,
so
you would just think it was interesting archaeology.
Better or worse than Ancient Aliens?
It's better.
The fact that you had to think about it for a second makes me really nervous.
The reason it's better, well, because there's some things about Ancient Aliens that are pretty good, but
oh my god,
But this is better because they spend a lot of time doing actual archaeology and actual science. They really, truly do. And a lot of it leads, of course, to disappointment, as you would expect, because there's nothing there. But it's still interesting.
Yeah, it's led me to a lot of disappointment already.
But they've excavated, like, there's a cove there that they've excavated. And
you,
they found
you talked about the cove.
A slipway there and some structures there that they've dated to the early 1700s, and that's interesting. What does that mean? They found that the swamp is artificial. Who did that? That's interesting. What does
all
that mean?
All astroturf.
No. Someone built some dams, I guess, and then allowed the water to drain off, and then a swamp formed there. So why did someone do that? That's interesting.
Why
right?
did somebody make a TV show? I don't.
Well,
why
then,
over
okay, they
treasure?
made the TV show because of the treasure, but I watch because
which doesn't exist, but the TV show exists.
But
and we are worse as a species for it.
Oh no, it's interesting stuff. And then they'll test things, and they'll like, they'll bring things to this guy who's a blacksmith, and he can tell you what this thing is and how old it probably is. I mean, it's very interesting. And I don't know what really happened on that island, but I'm interested to know what. I mean, it's not treasures, of course, but I'm interested to know what it really is. But
they're
not.
They want the treasure.
The thing is, I don't know why there would ever have been. I mean, things happen. Like they found this old ship's log. There were some French ships that came over, and they were a a huge fleet of French ships came over and they were going to do something to the English. I don't remember what it was, but then they hit a storm and so they couldn't do that. But they had a lot of, they did have a lot of treasure. And right in the ship's log, they said, well, we don't want to get caught with all this by the British or the Spanish. So let's bury it and let's in a really deep pit and let's make a secret entrance from the beach. So like this old document talks about digging a pit and having a secret entrance from the beach and everything, what they're going to do with this treasure.
Use a whole fleet of friendships.
So when they see stuff like this, of course,
that's the title of the episode.
So when they see stuff like this, of course they think, well, this is it. These French guys, they're the ones that buried this, but they're not really that close. I mean, they are sort of in the vicinity of Nova Scotia, but there's no real reason to think that they went to this island or even that they buried it at all, because that was just an idea they had because they didn't want the stuff to get captured by the British. So
you're right. It makes no sense. Why the hell are they doing it or making a TV show about it?
Well, if you've ever seen Ancient Aliens, you know why they're making a TV show.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that sentence.
Well, it's because that's what they do.
If you've ever seen Ancient Aliens, that's enough right there. Stop. Move on.
That's what they do. They take these things.
Are you a shut-in? Have you not told me and you're a shut-in?
But sometimes they talk about interesting things. Sometimes they talk about interesting things. And Oak Island is probably the best of them, to be honest, because they're always finding things, excavating things, dating things, testing things. There is so much archaeology and science in it. It's not all great, but it's super interesting. And the people are entertaining. And so you don't care about when they're talking about ridiculous treasure theories at all. You just sort of laugh and you move on. And actually, you do laugh because it's entertaining. I think you might actually like this show.
We'll never know. We will never.
You
don't hate to say it, but we'll never find out.
It's entertaining. You would love hating it, maybe even.
I kind of already do that. Just from here, I can't believe you've spent.
I need to apologize to anyone listening who actually believes in the treasure. I don't. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. I just don't believe.
No,
it.
I'm not apologizing. No, it's not You're full of crap. But also, I feel like our listeners get it, because I feel like with very few word substitutions, this is the argument somebody would try and make for why they listen to this podcast. Like, I feel like
it's a fun story too, by the way. The whole thing is just, I mean, the stories they come up with and the theories and everything would make great, like, maybe short novels or scenarios
strips.
For role-playing games.
If you'd like to facepalm at William really hard,
come on.
Do it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
You don't lack that much imagination. I know you're thinking about it.
I'm so not.
The Knights Templar, huh? The
oh
Masons?
My God, the fucking Masons. Oh,
the Rosicrucians?
My God. Are we putting MK Ultra in here? I mean, could we hit this any more standard trope conspiracies involved?
No, not MK Ultra. See,
the CIA was involved.
Now you just took all the wind out of the sails there. Literally. The literal
Wait,
Templar
literally?
Sales.
I'm not sure you know how that word works.
Of the figurative.
Okay.
Of the hypothetical sales of the Templars is what I'm saying.
All right. Draw something out of the hat before I literally roll my eyes so hard they shoot out my butt.
It is a fun show. You don't have to hate me just because like this show.
No, to be fair, it's not the only reason I hate you.
Oh, okay. So. Well, that's better.
But it's the front runner at the moment. It's taken a commanding lead over the last three episodes.
Hey, stop, or I'm going to start talking about that other movie that you hate me for liking.
Which movie do I hate you for liking?
Ghost Rider.
I thought it was Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Because weirdly, there are only two people out there who like movies that I hate them for, and both of them, it's fucking Ghost Rider. That's
yep,
so weird.
It's Ghost Rider. Anyway.
I mean, there are movies that I hate, and I don't hate the people for watching them, but except for two people, you and somebody else, and with both of you, it's Ghost Rider. That's weird. And I even think there's other people I know who like Ghost Rider who I don't hate for it. So I don't know what that's about.
We were on the gravy train with biscuit wheels before you showed up.
Not a good movie.
That's my favorite one. Dear Hatters, from Beth.
Beth, save us, Beth.
What is your favorite song from The Sound of Music? I like the piece they play at the end when the credits are on. I don't know. The Sound of Music. I don't have a favorite song from The Sound of Music.
Okay, a couple of things here. One, haven't seen The Sound of Music in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while for me too. But
two, never been a big fan of The Sound of Music.
Yeah, me neither.
But three, at some point I knew a lot of songs because I was a little kid backstage when my sister was in a high school production of it. And I went to all the rehearsals and stuff, so I was constantly hearing this shit. When my sister was in high school, she did a lot of theater, and my mom was the backstage mom. And I was young enough that I couldn't – my dad was at work, and I couldn't be left at home. So I was back there with her and hung out. So I got a lot of songs in my head from that. From that one, and Fiddler, and Pippin, and Godspell. So at one point, I did know them. And weirdly, I have an answer to this. And I don't know why, but You Are 16 Going on 17 is the one that has always stuck with me. And the thing is, I don't think that song ages well. It's a little creepy. it's catchy.
Isn't Sound of Music the one with the My Favorite Things? Isn't that
My Favorite Things is in there. High on Hill is Lonely Goat Herd. The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? Edelweiss is in there, which I did used to love. Now it's a little weird because it's a German patriotic song.
So Long Farewell.
Nazi. So Long Farewell's in there. My Humps, the Black Eyed Peas song, is in there. Mother Superior does it at one point.
Yep.
My hump.
I think that was my
lovely mom. Lady.
I think that was my mom's favorite.
Yeah, totally. Liesl's in the corner going, "What you gonna do with all that ass inside them jeans?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, totally. So maybe that's it. So yeah, our favorite song from Sound of Music is My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
Especially the Liesl part.
Yes. In my head, she still has Will.i.am's voice, but it's the little blonde girl,
yeah,
just like dubbed over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah. I remember my mom would sing that when making cookies. This time of year, she'd always.
Totally.
I told the story about how the only big fight we ever really had in our family that I can recall was when Battlestar Galactica was going to be on a different station, you know, at the same time the Sound of Music was going to be on. And Sound of Music at that time was playing, like, there was a while where it was Wizard of Oz that played every year about the same time.
Yeah.
And Sound of Music was like that for a while. And Mom, we wanted to watch Sound of Music. We said, "Mom, you watched Sound of Music last year. It'll probably be on next year. Can't we just watch Battlestar Galactica?" No, she wanted to watch Sound of Music. So, yeah, there was this a big thing about it. And we had other televisions, like old TVs, like sitting out somewhere.
But they were black and white, or not
yeah. And
big
so
and
I think we managed to figure out a way to watch it somewhere.
We would occasionally have that where who got to watch it on the color TV because we had two black and whites and one color.
But how dare they schedule Battlestar Galactica and Sound of Music on the same night?
There's
that
a
caused a lot of family hard feelings.
There's a thing on that '70s show. There was an episode where, as a bonus, the dad got a VCR because it was a Betamax, because that was part of the joke. Yeah. But, and so he was very excited that they could record stuff, and they were doing an encore presentation of Roots one night, and but it was annoying to the mom because she's like, "I don't like staying up that late because it's so long," or whatever. And he's like, "We can record it and then you can watch it anytime you want," which sounded good. But it was set up such, or he wouldn't let her watch it while they were recording it.
Mm.
So they had to wait. And he's like, no, once we do this, then you can watch it anytime you want. She's like, I want to watch it tonight. And then the joke being that he didn't know it had to have a tape in it. So afterwards, when they try and watch it, it's not there. And so they skipped watching it so that then they couldn't watch it. Mm. She was very upset about that. But yeah, he was very – it was that thing where he was, like, very into the idea. And she's like, let's just watch it. And he's like, no. That's too easy. We'll record it, and then we'll watch it. She's like, then we're going to want to go to bed. He's like, yeah, but then we'll have it. And yeah.
So you're saying you're 16 going on 17?
Yes, 16 going on 17 is, I think, my one. That's my deal. Oh, crap. This is unplugged in.
We're going to run out of power while we're recording?
I mean, probably not, but why risk it?
Why risk it? I mean, we don't want to lose this quality.
17 banana cream pies.
Jim Henson was a genius.
Wow. We are very low on questions.
Are we? I didn't even notice.
Yes, we are. Craig asks
about Brexit again. Okay, good.
Weirdly's question doesn't have a question mark.
But it is a question?
I mean, it syntactically, it seems to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he just didn't type one or if the hat forgot to write one in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But Craig asks, if you have to explain art, is it any good?
I mean, it might be.
I'd say the answer is no, because I feel like you have to explain this podcast as art. I find this in my life. I have had a lot of different opinions about this.
About art?
About whether or not art was good if you had to explain it.
Oh.
And I mean, for the record, it continues that if you have to explain a joke, it's not very good. But art, when I was younger, I would have very much said, no, it's bad. Like, you should, if it's something that requires extra knowledge to make it work, then you've done it wrong. Like, that's, especially if it's something that you're out showing, like, you need to put all the information in the art, or else it becomes work. It also becomes bullshit if you have to tell me what it signifies. I'm like, it's not signifying it very well because I didn't get that until you told me. And then I went to college, which is just a terrible idea all around for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in a literary criticism course, one of the first ones I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all college freshmen, and we were all like, this is bullshit. And we got into, you know, like, serious literary criticism. Like, clearly this symbolizes that. And we're like, no, it does not. It really doesn't. No, this is stupid. Why are you? Okay, well, if it's that, then does that mean, like, and it just annoyed us. And then all of it, well, maybe not all of us, but most of us had a point at which something shifted in our brain. And for me, it was T.S. Eliot's The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Because that poem borders on nonsensical when you just read it. But then we got into it and we cracked it down and we did literary critique and like what this might symbolize and how this meant and what this could be. And by the end, that poem was suddenly one of my favorite things in the world. And I took so much meaning out of it from that. And then we went on with other things, and we read short stories, and we read novels, and I read, we read Wuthering Heights, but the copy that we read had four very involved critiques of Wuthering Heights afterwards, and one was a psychoanalytic critique, and one was a feminist critique, and one was a, I don't even remember the other two, and it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, since then, I've kind of gone the other direction again. And that, I mean, it's neat. It's neat for the person who came up with it. And it can be an interesting thought experiment. But if it's good art, I at least need to give a damn first. Like, that can be an interesting new take on things. But if, like, I didn't care about it until I read your critique of it, it's not good, in my opinion. This comes up in Watchmen right now. And I do like Watchmen right now, this TV show. But some of the stuff in the first episodes is kind of confusing, especially if you are not really familiar with the original book. And to me, that's a problem. I'm like, a TV show that you have to have read a book for first is not a good TV show. But they're like, but they're doing that sort of alternate reality thing where there's actually a website you can go to that is a blog that is supposedly the blog of a character in the show that explains a lot of the backstory. And my friends were doing that. And they're like, that would help. And I was like, a TV show where you have to go read a blog in order to understand it is not a good TV show. And, you know, Watchmen has come around and sort of it's making more sense now and things like that. And so I do still like it. But I refuse to go to that website. Because I think that, I mean, I can appreciate it as a game. Lost did some of this stuff. Halo has done some of this stuff. The ARG things. It's a neat idea. But if you have to do that to appreciate it, it's not good. Like, if you can't enjoy it by itself, it's not okay. Yeah, I mean, that can end a lot. But all of that is thought experiments. People, including that. I'm a big proponent of, after you've done it, I'm a big proponent of J.K. Rowling doesn't... I shouldn't say she doesn't get to. It doesn't mean anything that J.K. Rowling tells us Dumbledore's gay. Mm-hmm. The books didn't say he was gay.
Or imply or suggest.
Well, some people make some arguments. But and if they did and that's what they got out of it, great. But that's not what I got when I was reading it. And her saying it after the fact doesn't mean... And then she's gone on to, you know, the movies and shit. But I'm tired of that shit anyway. Like, we all theorize what Shakespeare meant. And he's dead. But even if he wasn't dead, he doesn't get to say. George Lucas... long ago, before he turned into George Lucas, gave a major speech about this idea that once a creator creates something, it sort of belongs to the world, and you don't get to go back and keep futzing with it.
And he forgot?
There's video footage of him making that speech. It was like a congressional hearing or something involving some copyright law. I don't remember what it was, but no, he gave a big speech about it when he was younger.
And then he forgot.
Yeah, apparently. Or said, oh, I didn't mean me. But I'm a big proponent of everybody gets to consume it how they want. And I'm also the guy that goes to the art place. The museum, that's what we call them. And I'll look at something, and I look at it for a while, and I usually just sort of stare at it. And at a certain point, something shifts in my brain, and it means something to me. Or I decide it probably isn't going to, and I move on to something else. And that's the only way I've enjoyed Picasso. I used to think Picasso just seemed ridiculous to me, and then I looked at one time, and I looked at it for like 15 minutes, and things opened up to me. And it's not, I don't know if it was what I was supposed to see or whatever, but suddenly there was a tremendous amount of depth and meaning to what I was looking at. So... that's my diatribe. What do you think?
Well, when you're a person like me...
I'm not ever a person like you.
...who has to have a lot of things explained to him.
Yeah.
If I decided everything I had to have explained to me was not good, I'd think nothing was good. So I basically go through life thinking art is either good or maybe neutral... but it's not bad. I just don't get it. And I often appreciate someone explaining it to me, however they understand it. but when someone explains it to me, this is the same with jokes. If someone has to explain a joke to me, I don't think there's something wrong with the joke. I think there's something wrong with me. I needed the joke explained to me. Other people probably think it's hilarious and funny.
I mean, to be fair, that's your MO. If something bad happens, you assume it was your fault.
Well, I just... But I do have to have
You'll
a lot of things...
You'll notice he's not denying this.
I do... No, I'm saying I do have to have a lot of things explained to me that other people don't have to have explained to them, it right. seems like. So, I mean, I'm willing to entertain...
You also spend a lot of time talking about things that you think are self-evident that other people don't
That's
see.
True, that's true. And I also will acknowledge that maybe I take responsibility for more things than I should. I get that. But... I mean, you know, you used to have meetings here with a whole bunch of people, and many times everybody else seemed to understand what was going
yes.
on, and I did not.
Although we have slowly over time honed in on what that's about, you and I, over time. Because they were all of a theme. Because the conversations, when you would ask questions, all eventually led to one of us yelling at you, because people are stupid, William!
Which I still don't think they are.
No, which we had to get around, and it had a lot to do with people tending to be driven by their emotions more than you give them credit for.
Maybe. But what I'm... But what...
Your point stands.
Yeah,
You do often have to have things explained to you.
Right. So I can't... I just...
Since the surgery.
I just don't think in terms of, if you have to explain it to me, there's something wrong with it. I'm the one who needed it explained. Now, someone else who's more sophisticated than I am might be able to say, yeah, William, the fact of the matter is the reason you needed that explained to you was it's crap. And I might believe that person. I don't know. But
no, and you bring up a good point. I should say here, it's not a personal perspective necessarily. I think there's a lot of great art out there that people might want to explain. And just because they want to explain it or think it should be explained does not mean it's bad art. It means they are wrong, and it does not need to be explained. Okay. So I want to say more that good art doesn't need to be explained. And by that token, art that needs to be explained is bad. But I think the definition of needs to be explained is incredibly subjective.
Okay. Okay, so... So when I say that I need something explained to me, that's not the same as what Craig's talking about when something, quote unquote, needs to be explained.
I don't think necessarily, because yeah, for one thing, I think this talks aggregate population.
Yeah, right.
Where people don't get it.
Yeah, gotcha.
But if they just understood, anytime people are like, "No, this art is great," people just don't get it. No, then you got a problem. But if a person doesn't get it, there's possible explanations. Now, again, when it gets into a, this is supposed to evoke this, like that's, if it doesn't evoke that in you, telling you that it's supposed to.
Doesn't help. Yeah.
No. But if it's like, you don't get this reference, or you don't, there's an image difference, or something, there's something you genuinely don't understand, mm-hmm. like logistically about it. That happens. You're like, oh, no, this is referencing this or whatever. But again, I think it becomes a scale thing. Some people don't get it. That's fine. If everybody doesn't get it, that's the art's fault.
What if there's only a small group of people, like, you know, and it's a group of people that's, like, highly educated or whatever.
Well,
what
then we have to fall back to my definition of art is the same as my definition of love, which is stop thinking that you possibly can define them. So then it becomes good art to those people.
Yeah.
Because anything that people take a lot of meaning from is good art for them.
Yeah.
And there's no art that is good art for everyone.
Right.
Because there is stuff that people love, and I look at it and I'm like, it does nothing for me. I was just talking about this the other day. So I've been complaining a little bit lately. I think I may have talked about this before. So, you know how it can be tricky when you're somebody who just casually is a fan of something and you're dealing with somebody who really intensely is a fan of something?
Are you kidding? That's my life.
Yes. And because they care more about it.
Yeah.
And they care to a level of detail you don't. So you're like, oh, that was pretty good. And they're like, no, because they got this one thing. Or you're like, that was kind of dumb. And they're like, no, because it means this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. All the time.
Right.
You're a Star Wars fan. I'm sure you've run into this. I've discovered a new level, a new subset corollary to this, which is I'm a fan of something. And this other person is a fan of something. But they are also more of a fan, specifically involving that they have read a lot of fan fiction about it.
Oh.
So now they care a lot, but also they care a lot much more emotionally. Like, frequently it's like relationship-based stuff.
Yeah, shit.
And it's also not canon.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Yeah.
And that's very weird. And the example I put out there was that I'm watching the producer watch a video recently, and it is the song He Had It Coming from the musical Chicago, which is a song that she likes a lot, and it's a great song. It's a song, it's a bunch of women in prison who have killed usually their husbands, and it's the song about why they did it and what that meant and stuff.
Sure.
It's a pretty cool song. It has great lines in about it. And then he ran into my knife 35 times. we had a difference of opinion. We had a difference of vision. He visualized himself as alive and I didn't. But it's a cool song. But it was done to a montage of shots from MCU movies.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm watching it. I'm like, this isn't doing anything. And I'm looking at her and she's really into this because she's read a lot of stories about relationships between these people that like she thinks are significant and all this. But so I've been bitching about this lately. And the other night I'm bitching about it and it suddenly hits me and I was like, yeah, so I just don't get it. But she's in it. And then I'm like, of course I'm the guy who watched the montage of shots from Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2 set to the Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown song No Air and watched it over 100 times easily and was like very emotionally moved by it.
Hmm.
So I'm like, I guess we've all got our little things like that. But this to me relates. In both of those cases, I would say that is art that to one party is definitely bad and to the other party is definitely not. And I don't think an explanation would make it more intelligible. It wouldn't make it better art. And it shouldn't. Art is subjective as love is subjective.
Yeah.
So it becomes weird. But if it's something that this has to be a very personal thing. If it's something that doesn't resonate with me unless you tell me other stuff about it, I don't tend to think it's very good. And you know, I get proven wrong about this sometimes. The love song of J. Alfred Prufrock proved me wrong on this. I still really like that poem, and I still really didn't give a shit about it when I first read it.
Well, there have been television shows, there have been movies, there have been songs that I didn't care about, some that I didn't like. But when certain other people told me what they liked about them, and I could see them sort of through their experience, then I did like them. There are songs and movies and things of that nature that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But then I had certain experiences in my life.
Yep.
And then I did like them.
It's happened to me a lot of expectations or changes in life. The original Watchmen graphic novel, I did not particularly care for it the first time I read it. I read it a second time shortly before the movie came out, and I loved it. And I still love it, even though that movie was a steaming pile of dog shit.
Well, I can also tell you that I am reasonably certain that if Mary Shelley's Frankenstein was a book I had to read in high school for a class, I wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have been able to comprehend it. And I think I probably could have read it maybe a good 10 years earlier than I did, but not much earlier. I mean, I had to be reading that at just the right time for me to appreciate that the way I did.
And sometimes I used to love Shakespeare when I was younger. I still am a fan of Shakespeare for completely different reasons.
That's right. Yeah, that happens too.
And in fact, the things I liked about Shakespeare when I was younger, I really don't like about Shakespeare now. Because back then I thought they were good stories and things like that. And I'm like, no. The music of the language is the interesting bit. And to a lesser extent, the melodrama involved.
Mm.
But the story and the message such as it is within them, even the skill of poetry and honest in a lot of cases, no, is terrible. Romeo and Juliet is an absolutely shit story. is to quote Michael, I don't remember his last name from Cracked. That's just a play about assholes.
Dan O'Brien.
Michael Swaim.
Yeah.
Just a play. And to be fair, he was reading it from a script, so I don't know who actually wrote that. But yeah, it's just a play about assholes.
Yeah, arts. I mean, you know, I have never claimed to know anything about art or have any insight. I know what I like, and I have very often appreciated someone explaining something to me that I didn't understand so that I could understand, or, you know, that I got an understanding of it. And I like, Jazz is a literature professor, so she's got a lot of interesting things to say.
Honestly, you paused right then. I thought we were talking about Jazz, the musical genre.
No. Jazz is a literature professor, so she's got interesting
things. That was a really nebulous take there. Jazz is like a literature professor.
But she has interesting things to say about certain pieces, and I'm always grateful to hear whatever she has to say. It's not always something I understand or agree with, but it's always interesting, and it always gives me a new way of looking at things that I didn't have before. So, I mean, I don't know if I've experienced a lot of art that I just thought was bad. Art that I didn't like.
But yeah, I try and go that more
I guess I
route nowadays to try and be like, this is... To me, I find it this way. That doesn't necessarily mean it is intrinsically
bad. Now, there are some things that, you know, because I have written some things and made films and things.
Yeah, some of those were terrible.
And made a study of these things. I am qualified a little bit to speak on the craft of a thing. I think that...
Yes.
I think that when you see a film and it's... And you can say... It's not so much that this film is bad as a piece of art, but the craft is pretty clumsy, yes. Is not very good.
Trish and I do this with comedy all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to get this idea that there's comedy that I think is good and there's comedy that makes me laugh. And the Venn diagram has a lot of overlap, but not complete overlap.
That's right.
And films is that too. I've started to learn that there are several axes on a film and a TV show for me that are all different. There's the script, there's also the chemistry between the characters, there's how it was made, which people, the production values, no, it's how it's shot, how it's edited, how it's directed. These and direction sometimes can be tricky, but a lot of this you can tell. Like
a lot of times.
Chemistry between and I can take a movie and be like, well, I can give you an average, but the real answer is I thought it was, for film craft, I thought it was here, and for a story I cared about, it was here, the acting was here, and I've talked about it before, I'm like, this movie was incredibly well acted, it was a dumb script, and it made the movie shit, but it was incredibly well acted, you know, that kind of thing.
We saw Midsommar recently.
You did! Wait, we've talked about this.
No.
Jesus Christ, I hate you, we only have like 8 minutes left, and you just saw, oh my God.
Did you see it?
Yes!
Oh.
I'm obsessed with this. I love this movie. It's absolute batshit, and I love it.
Well, it's that, for sure.
Oh.
To me, you could have this movie, a double feature with Get Out, in a theme of white people be crazy, basically.
Right?
It's, because that's what it's
about. And just, and just that it's just this movie going along. Like, for me, it's when the elder woman.
Yeah.
Like, right then, it's like, we've just stepped into a new movie. Shit has just, like, and also, like, like, I think it was well shot, but that shot was a one in a million. The angle on that, like, that was such a disturbing moment, and so much of that was left to the vagaries of physics. I was like, I can't believe they pulled that off.
Well,
I'm trying really hard not to spoil this, but you know what I'm talking about.
This is why I brought it up, because I can imagine this film creating all kinds of reactions.
Yeah.
And some of them not very good, I can imagine. But the craft is
pretty amazing.
Well,
like, and
all
just
levels.
From, because Ari, when he was making it, originally it was just this story about these crazy people in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then he, apparently because he had just gone through a breakup, decided to use that relationship as the spine for the movie.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's a, you need it. Like, that's brilliant to have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that movie, so much of that works as sort of metaphor for what's going on in that relationship at the same time. And it's amazing. Yeah, and in terms of how it was done.
Yeah, the craft was
unbelievable.
Amazing. But I can imagine someone hating it.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine somebody loving it. But for me,
you
personally,
can. I told you.
For me personally, I was pretty amazed at every way it was crafted was very.
And there's
good.
Definite stuff where we've talked about it a ton afterwards, and there's definite shit that doesn't hold up to scrutiny, and like there's problems with it and things like that. And just the initial setup of the premise, in my opinion, is weak.
Agreed. Yeah, that's one of the.
But
things
I'm like, but it gets
about.
Us there. It gets us. But at the time, I was like, what? And then you just sort of go past because you're like, really? Like what? But I mean, and I mean, it's a tonal fit with the back end of the movie. And yeah, no, several times. Well, and that's funny because I told you this because I talked about this movie. We've talked about this movie on this podcast.
Yeah,
you haven't seen it yet.
I just don't remember.
Some places refer to it as a horror comedy.
Oh.
And I didn't understand that except at a certain point in that movie, I started laughing because I had run out of other shit to do. Like, I think it was during the sex scene. Mm-hmm. That I was just like my brain just lost it at that point, and I just started laughing. I'm like, this is insane. And at a certain point, I'm like, it's kind of a comedy in that finally your what the fuck meter just like shoots out the top of your head, and you're like, I don't. Is this real life? What is happening?
Well, like I said, I think.
And then the bear.
I think if you're going to have a white people be crazy party. You're going to have Get Out. You're going to have this. And there's got to be a third one, but I can't think of what it would be.
Society's not a bad one, the old 80s movie. That's more rich people be crazy, but I'm pretty sure they're all white. I mean.
It's got to be new, though. Like
The Ritual's not a bad one for white people be crazy.
Oh.
Have you seen The Ritual?
I know enough about it to know what
you're talking about. I saw it, and then just recently Trish had wanted to see it, so we watched it.
I have seen it, or...
There is one non-white person in that, and he's probably the least crazy person there.
But yeah, it's definitely a...
Well, that's fun, because you've got... That movie has two groups of people that are both white people, and they're both crazy in different ways.
Yeah. Maybe I have seen that. Either I've seen it or I know enough about it to
I would
know exactly
say you,
what you're talking about.
I would be curious. I think you should see it.
I'll have to look it up and see.
It's just on Netflix, so.
That would be a good, like, if you're going to have a theme for...
The white people be crazy triptych.
For New Year's or something. But it might just be too disturbing.
Well, the problem is, I mean, that's not bad because all three of those are decent movies, but I'm like... You need a quality level. There's very few things you can put up against Get Out in a similar vein because movies in that vein aren't nearly as good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there is definitely a vibe. No, I just... No, and I think so much credit goes to the shooting, to the editing, to the directing, and the music. And the sound in general was...
Yeah.
Really, like, they were really good at making you feel how they wanted you to feel based on the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's true.
Up to the point where it would be sort of discordant but quiet, and I'd be like, am I losing my mind? Is that noise from the movie? Like, that kind of shit.
Now, the lead, was that Florence Pugh?
Yes.
Okay, now she's going to be in the Marvel, she's going to be in the Black Widow movie.
Is that one of those? How'd you feel about that trailer?
That's fine.
That was my reaction. Other people I've known had stronger feelings and didn't had issues with it. But I feel like they had expectations I didn't. I was like, I expected it to be an MCU movie. and it looks like an MCU movie, and I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Well,
like, I was not expecting something special and different.
Yeah, I
and it doesn't look like it's
going
to be.
It might feel a little, like, too little too late. It's like, why didn't you make this movie 10 years ago?
Yeah, well, and they managed to set it between, at least it's current, and it's not, we don't have to do a weird flashback. Oh. It's between, I think it's between Infinity War and Endgame or whatever. Maybe not. Maybe it's slightly before Infinity War, but it's in recent years.
I mean, we'll see it.
Yeah. And
maybe
I'm
even in the theater.
See it, but
and the Wonder Woman trailer looked pretty good. So
it does look pretty good. I mean, there's not much to go on yet, but it looked pretty good.
Yeah, we look forward to that in June.
It's funny though, amongst the women I know who have seen it, the two major reactions I got out of it was one person saying, "Those boots were kind of ridiculous," though, and another person saying, "I love those boots. I want those boots." And me being like, "No, you're both right. You're both absolutely right.
Yep.
They're ridiculous boots and fucking gorgeous." If you'd like boots, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and
boots.
Give us your shoe size in 6 to 10 weeks. Who knows what'll happen?
I know what'll happen.
All right, so that's it, and we'll be back in 2 weeks because somebody's got to go see Star Wars. And in the meantime, kiss my alderman.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat. @gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.